over some of the techniques for object relational mapping that exist out there. The idea is that the idea arose, so Patrick Linsky, the chief object CEO of Solometric, when they were joined by DJ Borden, and he's actually on the DJB3 technical committee, okay? And he got there because they helped, his company helped create the best JDO implementation, okay? The fastest and best JDO implementation. And that is what Kodo started off as, an engine for doing JDO. If you haven't heard of Java DevObjects, it's just a POJO-based model for describing persistence, okay? And with the movement in general towards this commonality of using POJO-based programming, JDO has started to emerge as a strong, having some strong benefits. JDO works great with Spring in the same way as Spring works with Hibernate, as well as DJB3. So it's just another persistence choice you have. And if you go to the Solometric website that's being transitioned to the BEA conference right now, they actually make a description about the right way to make a decision between which implementation model going to be using. Additionally, Patrick Linsky and Rod Johnson, the founder of Spring, did a webinar 10 days ago on Dev2Dev. And they talked about how to get the synergy between Spring and Kodo to work appropriately. Now, if you missed the webinar, it's not too late. The webinar is actually recorded. It's available online on Dev2Dev events. And I encourage you guys to check it out. They're both great subject matter experts. Okay, so Kodo provides a JDO 2.0 implementation, and it also provides an EJB3 preview release. As I said, EJB3 is like, I mean, I don't know, there's a lot of people looking at it. It's going to go final sometime really soon, okay? Fingers crossed. And what the Kodo guys have done is they're like, look, we're going to get an implementation of this thing out there. We want this thing to be available. So they've already implemented it and made it available in Kodo, and that's what we'll be taking a look at. Kodo and the Solometric products provide tools for doing the same kind of operations that we just saw in workshop, generating these mapping, inspecting the database, generating mapping. I've actually got more tools than that. We'll see a little bit more about that when we look at the persistence model, the architecture behind it. We're putting that information into Workshop for you to take advantage of, and the Kodo engine has got some advantages. In particular, the SQL that's generated out of Kodo is actually very intelligent. And you can actually go to the news groups on for Kodo, and they actually describe how they made the decisions for providing those SQL statements. And in the SQL-to-SQL comparison to other persistence frameworks, in particular Hibernate, the lines of SQL code that get executed are much smaller and more efficient in general than other persistence frameworks. In particular, the area where Kodo really shines is in operations that involve a large number of objects or a large number of objects that has complex relationships. So you may be able to get by with a simple persistence engine or a lightweight application that runs in your lab. You want to start applying a lot of load to it, and you want to have a persistence model that represents the true nature of your business domain, then Kodo provides specific advantages for that. We are working on right now some performance benchmarks, which we hope to have published soon, that will actually allow you to quantify these values. In particular, as well, what Kodo provides is programmatic and runtime access to the persistence engine. And this flexibility gives you the power to change the behavior of your application without having to unlock, you know, bring it down and bring it back up. You don't get that in most other persistence frameworks. The Spring Beans have been enabled for the EJB support. Again, as mentioned, there's an article published today on Dev2Dev describing best practices exactly for that. And the truth is that while Kodo we think Kodo runs best in WebLogic Server, it doesn't actually need WebLogic Server. You can run it in a straight JVM, or you can run it in other containers. You can run Kodo on Tomcat, you can run Kodo on other applications. today about how BEA is a good community citizen when it comes to open source. We're not running around trying to acquire open source companies. We're not just using open source and not giving anything back. And we're not running around screaming that open source is going to be the end of the world. Okay? What we're trying to do is be pragmatic about this, and we've identified there's a need for an open source implementation for EGB3. Right now, the reference implementation for EGB3 is not open source. It's not open to the community. Oracle's building it. Okay? So what we wanted to do was to make sure that there was a runtime for EJB3 that everybody could get their hands on. So we're contributing the core EJB3 system part of Codo to the OpenJPA group. We'll have a more announcements very shortly about which open source organization that's going to live under, but I'm sure you guys can guess. As you can see, Patrick Walensky is quoted as saying that this intellectual property donated by BEA is going to be a real evener in the persistent technology. All right, architecturally, this is what Codo looks like. Okay, what happens is your client application that needs to talk to your persistence engine, and this may be your Spring Bean or whatever application you're building, can talk to your persistence engine through multiple different ways. There's actually already a JBO API. We're building the EJB3 API, that's from the OpenJPA project. And then there's the ability to provide pluggable APIs. These will be extensions that will be available in Codo in the future, that if you decide you've got your own persistence story, you've already invested money in developing your own persistence framework, you can push that API to run against our kernel, and we'll build the ORM for you. Okay? So that's downstream, let's push it out a little way. The kernel is the engine that does all the hard work. It's the thing that understands the object relational mapping that's been described in these different standards, and it communicates through the cache to the persistence mechanism. Now, right now, out of the box, Codo works with just the JPC store. There's nothing to stop you using other storage techniques as the thing that the Codo persistence engine talks to. These could be XML stores, LDAP stores, or object stores, or other pluggable stores as well. There'll be more announcements from Codo about that in the next couple of months. The important thing here is that not only do you get the kernel and the caching mechanism, but you get management and visibility into it. You get management access, programmatic management access, into the kernel and data store as they execute. This allows you to define object loading plans and instance creation plans for your ORM. Remember I said at the beginning of the ORM discussion that it's not the fact that objects and tables need to be matched up together. That's not the hard part. The hard part is how much of my database do I want running around in the memory of my application server at any one time, right? How do I take care of that information? You can define object loading plans and control all management, and you can infect them during runtime. There's profiling mechanisms that allow you to monitor the behavior of the objects so you can gauge the effectiveness of the strategies you currently have in place for your object relational mapping. Okay? Now, of course, these advanced features like multiple stores, cache management, profiling, and additional management, those are things that the Codo tool should retain as value add for a full fee price. But the core engine under EJB3, including the kernel and the data cache and the JPC store, that information is going to be contributed to the open source community under the OpenJPA standard. So what does this look like in EJB3? Well, as I mentioned before, in Hibernate, all the ORM information was pushed out into those mapping files, those XML files. In EJB3, they leverage the power of the Java 5 annotation system. So the mapping information is actually annotations in your source code. So you can go ahead and see right here, I've got essentially a relationship example between a one-to-one, and is it one-to-one? Yeah, it looks like a many-to-one relationship between two EJB3 entity beings. So on the left, I've got a customer, and on the right, I've got an order. They're both marked up as entity beings, so that's the thing that marks them up as entity beings, and they've been both been identified, but we're going to access them through their field, for example. Okay? Now, for the entity being information, you'll notice that the public class doesn't have to implement three different interfaces and subclass and abstract class with la-di-la-di-la-di-la in, right? Like you're used to for your EJB2O base. You're just writing a POJO. And what you do is you mark up the attributes to identify where they're going to be stored in the database. And you mark up your relationships to express how these things are related to one another. So we can see that the customer's order is a one-to-many. It's mapped by the customer, the cust attribute in the many. So this means that I've got a many here, a collection, a set of orders, and that set of orders points to a whole collection of these order instances. Notice that down in the persistence layer, this relationship is expressed how? How do you express relationships in the database world? You do it with foreign keys, right? And so here, this order belongs to this customer that's expressed by the customer ID column, and that customer ID column is the value that's listed right here. Now, notice that this is where the quote-unquote object-relational impedance problem comes in. The many side of the relationship in the object world is expressed on the customer. It has many orders. Whereas the many side in the relational world is expressed on the many side, on the order itself, the foreign key column, right? And that's where the trickiness starts, okay? All right, so what I'm going to do is go back to the demo application, and I'm going to take a look at exactly the same thing we did with Hibernate. I'm going to show you how we do it with Codo and with the EJB3 information. Okay, so I'm back here at my application explorer. Alright, so I'm back in my application explorer. You can see I've now got a new entry in my web application, EJB3 persistence. Currently, there are no EJB3 persistent entities in here at all. Okay? But I've got the same kind of flexibility and control that I had previously for Hibernate. I can go ahead and navigate myself around my enterprise information, the information that resides in my database. And in particular, I can go find my advertisement table, which should be down here. Yeah, advertisement. And what I can do is I can say, look, I want to take that table, and I now want to make an EJB3 bean out of it. Okay? So let's go down here to my Database Explorer, and I'm going to start it from there. The same thing I saw before, but now I want to generate EJB3 mapping. Okay? Again, I go through a very similar wizard now. I'm asked, okay, how do you want to do it? What table do you want? Well, the advertisement table, that's the table I'm interested in. Is this table associating with other tables? Do you want to build a relationship into this bean that you're creating? Persistence, well, no, we'll skip that for right now. What's my choice about the primary key for this relationship? Well, we're fine with identity, but we've got other options as well. Notice they're slightly different from the options you might have seen for the Hibernate. And then I've got, how am I going to access it? Through properties or through fields? What's my package, my base class interface, the same thing we saw previously? Now I get to choose which columns and which of the table are going to be mapped to which attributes of the bean. So I can actually see column information and the property name that's going to appear in the bean. And the data type for the mapping. And I get the ability to define what the accessor and mutator methods are available, whether the property is used in the hash code or the username. Alright. Let's go ahead and generate this guy. And now I should have added right here the advertisement EJB3 bean. And sure enough, there it is. Okay? That's my bean. You can see it's marked up as an entity bean. Okay? You can see the table information that it's related to. I can go ahead and see that I've got the appropriate attributes for it, and I've got gets and sets for each one. The gets and sets are measured against the column information they're responsible for, along with some of the information about that column that may be relevant for the persistence engine. And once I've got this information, all I need to do is run a build, and I've got a runnable Hojo, regular Java object, right? Notice we've got, you know, no interface other than serializable here. No home interface, no remote interface, no abstract class, no cascading methods which you've got to implement by hand. Just a Hojo, and you can go ahead and use this Hojo as your persistence model. Again, this works with Spring. You can actually build a Spring mean front end for this. And there's actually a way, I think we may already have that down here in the persistence. In the persistence piece. Alright, there it is. So this is the client code that you might use for talking to this guy. Now I'm missing a few imports here. So if I control shift O, it actually goes ahead and does all the imports for me. That's pretty handy. And now I've got my appropriate client, my data access object for this bean. I can turn this data access object, register it. It's got a simple method getOS. And go ahead and register that Spring Bean, start using it in my application. And now I can just talk to my database, talk to my advertisements, and retrieve them all as part of this application. Okay? I wind up with exactly the same result as I saw on the web page earlier. The advertisements appear in that bottom tile, and it's because that's exactly what we've done. But the demo application you have at home asks you to do just that barest minimum, but an issue or challenge to you guys. When you're doing that, go ahead and change some of those Hibernate beans over to EJB3 beans. You'll be surprised at how straightforward and easy it is to do. And actually build a relationship between those beans so you've got related persistence model using Kodo that you can provide. Now, Kodo is a separate product. It doesn't come bundled with WebLogic Service. It's a separate product from DEA. So therefore, you need a license in order to run the Kodo application. So just a simple license file. You can get demo licenses, and there should be a demo license on your CD, but the CDs were made a little while ago, so if you need to update or refresh your license, a simple website you can do it, you can get it at solometric.com/software/evaluate. Okay? And that will give you a new evaluation license for Kodo. It's good for 30 days, and you can find out whether it provides value. Alright. Let me return back to the slides. So, this was the application that we tried to build, okay? We went ahead and started looking at the WebKit. We built a struct-based application, and we leveraged some of the presentation rules we saw, including JSF and Kyle's. We didn't get to take advantage of the page load stuff just yet, but you can actually do that when the preview for a workshop for WebLogic comes out. We talked about the importance of building a